Today's program was previously recorded. The opinions expressed are those of the program hosts and guests and are not those of WPSL's staff, management, or sponsors. WPSL does not endorse products that may be mentioned. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited without written consent of WPSL. It's time now for the Raybuck Law Firm Radio Hour, and here's your host, attorney Michael Raybuck.
Hello again, and happy Friday to you. This is attorney Michael Raybuck, and you are listening to the Raybuck Law Firm Radio Hour on AM 1590 WPSL. I'm chief counsel for my firm, Michael Todd Raybuck, PA, and we're located at 1025 Southwest Martin Downs Boulevard in Palm City, where we focus on two areas of practice: family law, including issues related to simple and complex divorce, spousal support, paternity, contempt, establishment, and modification of existing orders, division of assets and liabilities, dependency and children's issues. We also practice in personal injury litigation, representing clients who've been injured in auto accidents and negligence cases. In addition to being licensed by the Florida Bar, I'm certified by the Supreme Court of Florida as a family law mediator, admitted to practice before the United States Federal Courts of the Northern, Middle, and Southern Districts of Florida, as well as the United States Tax Court. The Radio Hour focuses our discussion on family law issues. Phone lines are open at 340-1590, and we'll try to answer your questions regarding a divorce or perhaps a time-sharing situation that you may have. This is an opportunity for free consultation. Family law attorneys, like most attorneys, we're very busy preparing our cases for court in between the various stages of litigation and research that goes into preparing for trial. We've got to find time to meet and consult existing and potential clients. There's not nearly enough time to satisfy the demand and need out there for answering all questions associated with family law. And many attorneys are also, like myself, business owners, and our time is further constrained by the time that we spend keeping our businesses properly managed. So this is a real opportunity for me, sort of a mutual opportunity for us on a sort of general and quite effective medium on topics of family law, which I have experience doing. I do have plans for an upcoming personal injury show. However, if you have a question regarding a family law matter or a personal injury case, call me at the office. My office's telephone number is 772-600-8166. I'll be glad to schedule a free consultation with you or speak to you personally on the phone regarding your case. You may also email me at michael@raybucklawfirm.com if you have a question that you'd like to have on the air or have me contact you about. You may visit our website at www.thefamilylawattorney.net. You can also email us right there on the website, and on the website you will also find our links for Facebook and YouTube. It's my goal to address issues that are pervasive to the profession as I see them. I was in court the other day. I was there on a fairly routine matter, waiting my turn before the judge, and as I was sitting there through the hearings and motions of the various cases that the judge was hearing, I began to think about how we might construct the Radio Hour around the different things that the parties go to court for, sort of not necessarily routine matters, because really you go to court, nothing is necessarily routine. And as I was sitting there, I sort of thought about this is how we can construct the hour, to sort of put together a couple of different subjects that might otherwise be unrelated, but because they're related to family law, they're sort of interconnected, and so that's what we're going to do today.
We kind of call that in this business show prep.
That's exactly what that is. And good morning, Veronica.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here with me. Family law is a pervasive area of law, folks. It's very close to the community. And really, any time that I can take a moment when I'm in court and I just sort of take a moment to observe and think about things like that, it reminds me. There are so many different subjects that we can talk about. And just sort of to illustrate that, today we're going to talk about three somewhat unrelated aspects of what happens when you go to court on a family law matter. So let's get into that. And the first of the three subjects I'd like to tackle in the next 50 minutes has to do with a legal name change in Florida. Turns out that there's quite a bit to talk about with respect to something as what might otherwise be fairly simple concept of a legal name change in Florida. And the requirements for obtaining a legal name change in Florida, laid out clearly in Florida Statute 68.07. For those of you who are interested in reading Florida statutes, you can go to a Google search and just type in Florida statutes, or like I do, Florida statutes annotated. You may read the citations that are referenced on the show, and just as a general matter, these are simply rules that the attorneys go by that are codified in Florida statute. For a legal name change, the state takes the opportunity at the outset to gather quite a bit of information about an individual who's applying for a name change. An adult name change, the mechanism for this process initiates through the filing of a form. Now, I've given you the website for these forms on just about every show, but again, it's www.flcourts.org. And the particular form in this case is called Petition for Change of Name, form number 12.982A. It's a four-page document. And in addition to basic information like name and address, this form is going to ask you for very important information, which must be completed and filled out, asking for things like date and place of birth, names of both parents of the petitioner who's filing, all the addresses that person has had since birth, if they're available, the party's marital status, names and addresses of spouse and children, the occupation, and any criminal convictions or arrests, past bankruptcies, or whether your civil rights have ever been suspended. This stuff is all going to be required, so before you go to a final hearing to have this addressed, that's going to have to be made part of the record. Additionally, this form is going to ask for information about a business that a person might own, possession of any advanced degrees, and any past name changes and or aliases that they may have gone by or go by presently. Form's got to be notarized, and you must affirm that the name change is not intended for any illegal purposes and will not violate anyone else's privacy, trademarks, patents, or property rights. Now, as we've stated, that this form can be found online, but can also be found at any state circuit courthouse in Florida or through the state's website. It must be filed, however, in the county of the party's residence. At the time of filing, typically the petitioner is going to have to provide a set of fingerprints taken by a law enforcement agency. That's not the case in every scenario, however, and there's two marked distinctions, which I'll cover in just a moment. But in addition to the petition form, the party is going to need to fill out a generic name change final judgment form. So you're going to have the proposed final judgment form with you when you go to the final hearing, and then the judge can simply sign it if he or she agrees to grant your name change. There is a fee associated with the filing of a petition for name change, and in Florida, I believe, I'm 99% sure that fee is $400. That fee can be waived if the petitioner is indigent. A qualifier for indigency, meaning they don't have the ability to pay, a party that wants to file can't pay the fee, that person must file the appropriate form claiming indigent status, and the clerk will sort of run the numbers based upon a party's statement or sworn statement of income and ability to pay. The factors that are primary to determining whether a person is indigent is really what they make or what income that they may or may not have and the number of people that live with them in their home. After the filing of the petition papers, the petitioner is going to have to go before a circuit judge to have the name change granted. There's no way around the final hearing. There's going to have to be a final hearing in front of a judge for this process to be completed. And the judge has final discretion and will or can generally deny the name change if a petitioner has, you know, certain circumstances come up, like, for example, they're not able to prove legal residency in the state, or if there's determined to be some ulterior or illegal motives behind the change, or maybe if the new name interferes with someone else's rights. What I mean by that is, for example, a requested name change to something like Coca-Cola Johnson or maybe Walmart Sam, that probably is going to be denied for violating a trademark, while a name that's changed to a symbol, say you wanted to change your name to ampersand or maybe question mark, that might also be denied if it's deemed by the court.
Or the rocker formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, that's the one I thought of when I, that's right. Yeah. I was thinking about whatever that thing was.
But then,
that,
you know, what do you call him?
What did we end up doing with that? I don't remember what he called himself.
Back to his name. I don't know.
It caused too many problems. Yeah. And so they had, it probably what happened was the IRS got involved.
I'm sure Prince
one.
Wasn't real in the first place. So
that's right. His name's Harold something or other.
Yeah. His mama gave him a name, I'm sure.
But those types of efforts will typically be denied if the court determines that there will be any interference with things like the functions of legal or tax collection processes. And so the bottom line is, if you're going to do a name change, it is a serious matter, and a serious name will get serious consideration by the court.
Do the majority of the people who change their name would be like a woman who's now divorced, wants to go back to her maiden name, or she just doesn't want to have her husband's name anymore or her ex-husband's name?
Yes, that's
very
typical.
That would be the majority
typical.
Okay, so yeah. It would be the same process, though. You'd have to, I mean, it doesn't come automatically with the divorce.
That's correct.
You have to go down and change it later.
Well, actually, you can change back to a former name as part of the divorce process.
Okay.
It'll have to be pled. Well, ideally, it would be pled in the initial petition pleadings. Mm-hmm. And then at the final hearing, the judge will take testimony and will grant, okay, the former name is restored. All part of the same process.
Okay.
No additional cost associated with that. Mm-hmm. And nice and easy. But, of course, what happens sometimes is that doesn't get addressed at the final hearing. The final judgment is done. And that party ultimately has to go back and do it.
Oh, wait a minute.
I wanted my name changed.
I forgot about that. Okay.
Right. So assuming the name change is granted, what's going to happen, just to give you a procedural background of how this goes and where the $400 is applied, the judge is going to order the clerk to send the change of name to the Office of Vital Statistics, to the Department of Health, which will then make it a permanent record of the state. So you can be assured once that final judgment is done, you get your certified copies. The process is going to be put in place that your name change is now going to be applied, and it's going to be applied statewide. The clerk's going to be ordered to send the new information to FDLE, and they're going to inform the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, and then you're going to get your new identification under your new name. And in a situation where a petitioner who gets granted a name change is born in another state, that party can file a certified copy of the judgment and forward it to their state, and then the official records indicating who they are and where they're from, that will all be changed as well. I had a question on this issue last week. My client basically asked, when I got married, I changed my last name to my husband's. Now we're getting divorced. I want to change my maiden name back. So it was a relevant mm-hmm. question to ask. And so, like we were just talking about, people want to get their names changed. They do so after a divorce. The wife will want to go back to a maiden name, which is completely understandable. There's no fingerprint standard if you want to go and have a former name reinstated, which is one of the big differences with respect to just getting a name change. I want to change my name to...
And you make it up.
Michael something or other,
yeah.
Or maybe change my first name. This situation doesn't require a lot of the formalities. The bottom line, you'll have a much easier time with the judge by just filling out the proper forms when all you want to do is go back to a former name.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a much simpler process.
Now, if you change your name to something totally different, you make it up, you want to be somebody else. Now, do all of these names follow you? Like, okay, I was born this name, I got married, now I had this name, now I'm changing my name, so now I have three different names. Do those names all cross-reference? You know, if you were to get in trouble or something, I mean, do they, you know, formally known as, do these AKAs all come up?
Yeah, I would say mm-hmm. so. As a matter of course, they do. And also, in your personal life, you're going to have people who know you as certain names, and they may take them forever to get over what they've always called you.
Sure.
When, in fact, you know, they may have to apply themselves to call you by your proper name.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with business. They're going to have to address you as the proper name when they're doing things of a business nature
sure.
to make sure that they don't say things incorrectly. So, yeah, I mean, the practical and reality answer is yes.
I mean, I'm thinking even just getting credit, you know, looking at who are you, you know?
Absolutely.
Who are you now?
Absolutely. It can become a complication as much mm-hmm. as it may become a non-hindrance. I mean, the bottom line is if you're changing your name, all of those things will have to be addressed. Credit card companies may have outdated information for you. I mean, certainly you've been in situations where you've gotten things that are sent to your wrong address because maybe there was some oversight mm-hmm. by the people that who were supposed to mail you something, maybe a bank, or perhaps it was a situation where you simply forgot to notify people of your change. It's the same way when you change a name. I mean, there can be complications, and ultimately that becomes something that's on the individual to, hey, listen, I'm this person now. I've changed my name, and this is my legal name, and for the record, I'm going to file something with you, credit card company or bank or mortgage lender or whoever, and just call me this net from now on
right.
so that there's no confusion. But, yeah, I mean, and you know what? Even if you do all those things, it's still a matter of the other side processing the paperwork and making sure that they mm-hmm. know who you are.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, probably a good policy to just stick with your name unless it's absolutely unnecessary to do so.
Well, I would think, too, if you have children, then you might, as a mother, I would want my name to stay the same as my children.
Absolutely, and that can become...
If I had no children and I was being divorced, then I think maybe, yeah, I'd want to go back to my maiden name.
Right.
Which would probably be more simple than coming up with something totally different.
I agree with that, and it's very common, very pervasive for that to be an issue. Children is an interesting issue because your children grow up with a network of friends who get to know you, if you are in the situation you're describing, mm-hmm. as Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't change necessarily when you've gone back to a former name. And that will go on and on and on until you decide, you know, I can live with this and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I have a different name than my children, or not. Or you can decide, you know what, this is something that I need to really get fixed because everyone still knows me as this and I'm kind of comfortable with it and I want to have the same name as my children. And that's the other thing. Sometimes it's a process. You get that name changed as part of the divorce because you just want that name gone. And then you may change your mind. Perfectly understandable. We've got a call. Frank from Port St. Lucie. You are on the line. How can I help you, Frank?
How are you? I'm in a bit of a dilemma. And I had some, what they call titanium mini dental implants put in a couple of years ago by a local dentist in Port St. Lucie. And they had the whole dentures in place. And I'm an older guy, retired on a fixed income, which gets me a little peeved now. The treatment was never finished. When I went back for the scheduled time, after several problems with the implants, my body rejecting them, I went for they finally took, and I went back to get the treatment finished, and he wasn't there, the dentist. He had sold the practice. He quit working. They told me he was sick. And it was like why didn't you notify me or something? Well, it was like sudden. We didn't even realize it. All of a sudden, he's here and he's not. Well, I had to go to a guy in Lakeland. He's the best implant guy in the state for these mini implants. Long story, but the guy in Lakeland is excellent. Believe it or not, he gave me a bit of a discount for driving so far. Turns out my dentist, he was sick, all right. Had a cocaine problem. His license was taken away by the state health department.
Let me interject for a moment. Do you have a question with respect to a personal? Is this a personal injury matter? You were injured.
I sued the guy in small claims court to get my money back if he's practicing on me. Never finished the treatment, and he was a drug addict.
All right. Listen, a situation like this, we may be looking at a personal injury case. I'd like to know something about the status of a lawsuit that had been filed. If there had been small claims, I'd want to know the background with respect to that information. What I would probably do in this case, give me a call at the office, set up a consultation. I'll be glad to speak with you for free, up to 30 minutes with respect to that issue. We can find out background about your case. If it's something that that we can assist you with, we would be certainly happy to do that. And you can contact me at the office at 772-600-8166. Or if you feel more comfortable emailing me, just send me an email at michael@raybucklawfirm.com. Include your phone number or contact information, and I'll certainly follow up with you so we can discuss the details of that issue. And thank you for calling, Frank. The issue regarding divorce papers that don't show a request for name change. That's something that you were talking about earlier, and I wanted to address that real quick. Florida's handles it differently than in other states. In most states, you'll most likely still be able to restore your old name. If you have some documentation that has your old name on it, such as a birth certificate or passport, then there won't be a whole lot to worry about. And there are some states that actually require, for purposes of a name change, that all you do is you start using your old name again and you request that your name be changed on all of your personal records. So we're talking about how things work in Florida. They don't necessarily work the same in all states. And in some states, it's a very informal process, whereas with Florida, we've got a specific process, which is fairly formalized. In Florida, like we were talking about, you're going to be a lot less likely to run into problems when restoring a previous name that you used before marriage than if you want to make a completely new name change. You're not going to have fingerprint issues, and like we talked about, I don't know whether offhand an indigent person is going to be able to have the fees waived with respect to fingerprinting and records check type issues in the circumstance of a name change for just, I want to change my name. But my thought is that the fees would be waived. The information would be available at the clerk's office with respect to that issue. And the clerk of court can instruct you on the process of having the fingerprints taken and submitted, including information on law enforcement agencies or service providers to submit fingerprints electronically to the Department of Law Enforcement. So just to wrap up this issue of fingerprinting and name change, you're going to want to get a hearing date for the court to consider your request. If you're seeking to restore a former name, a hearing on the petition may be held immediately after the petition is filed. I guess the theory on the consistent idea here is if you're just going back to file a formal name change, it's going to be a relatively simple process. You can get a hearing almost immediately if the judge is available. Given that this is the Christmas season, the courts are pretty stacked with respect to uniform motion calendar and just expanded hearing times. People want to get their cases heard before Christmas. It's a little bit more difficult. But in a general sense, if you have a former name change that you want to go back to, that can be done right away. You should ask the clerk of court, family law intake staff, or the judicial assistant about the local procedures for setting a hearing. And you may be required to attend the final hearing with the name change form, as I've indicated. That's going to be something that the judge is going to require that you bring along. It's a Supreme Court-approved family law form. The judge is going to use that, most likely, to grant or deny your petition for name change. If you should type or print the heading, including the circuit, county, and case number on your form, that's going to be helpful. I mean, the form is fairly standard. You can, like I said, you can find it online, and everything should be more or less included with respect to the party's names. The rest of it, there's like a blank space for the judge to put in any dicta or information that they feel is necessary, but more than likely, if everything is in place, all of the form items that they've requested are provided, the judge is going to sign that and grant your name change.
How legal, I mean, is the name? You say I have a new boyfriend, he comes to live with me, and I start using his last name, but we're really not married, but I just start doing that on my own. Am I in any trouble?
If you just change your name?
Well, I'm just using it.
I suppose it would depend if it would be what kind of purposes it would be used for. Okay. If you were using it to get credit, for mm-hmm. example, there might be a problem.
Okay.
If you're not paying your bills subsequent to that, it would be something that eventually it's going to be getting looked into.
Okay.
And there would be potential civil, if not criminal, penalties associated with something like that under that scenario. But, I mean, if you're doing something in good faith and nothing illegal ever comes of it, mm-hmm. can you just do that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily be enforceable in some ways, but could you do it? Sure.
It's a weird situation. I knew a woman who was married but separated from her husband. They never got divorced. And she had a new husband, so to speak, for like 20 years. They never married. She never got the other guy's name. She carried the other. But she then used her, I guess they would be common law, but we don't have that in this.
Well, no,
Florida,
it was common
right?
law. It would so, be so it was like an alias.
Like,
it was like an alias.
Okay,
name.
I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah, aliases are something that's going to show up possibly on a credit report. I've been in situations where I've had to look up information
that just seems
on
messy.
People. And, oh, absolutely,
yeah.
it's messy.
Yeah.
And there'll be situations where people do this. Obviously, that wasn't a bigamy situation because there was no subsequent marriage.
No, exactly.
But there'll be situations where you look up credit reports and there'll be aliases provided for people that are going by various names, and you'll find out that they've taken credit out under various names. And the bottom line is, if they're paying those bills,
no one cares.
Not a whole lot goes on with it. But of course, when there's non-payment, well, then it's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then there could be criminal sanctions.
Yeah, who are we looking for? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm looking for Joe Jones / Johnson / Smith / uh-huh. you know. And so that type of thing, well, I suppose it's fairly common, actually.
Yeah, this was just, I guess, an agreement kind of thing. Yeah, we're not really divorced, but we haven't been together for 20 years, and.
So let me complicate my life by changing my name a couple more times.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but not legally.
No, and that's a great point. That's a way to end this segment. Even with all of this in place, there's may still be paperwork barriers that a person has to jump through in order to get everything changed to what's requested. If a petitioner is a recent immigrant, for example, or cannot find appropriate documentation of a former name, there may be obstacles to getting a name change. The bottom line, for more involved questions on things like this, you should contact an attorney to address the particulars of your case. We're going to take a quick break. This is Attorney Michael Raybuck. You're listening to the Raybuck Law Firm Radio Hour on AM 1590 WPSL.